we are going to bring our last installment of a series that some of you probably never thought would end. I love series. I love bringing these sermons in series because it means we have to build on a thought, build on a premise, and then tie it into the relevancy of our lives. And I honestly believe this is one of those scriptures that, well, all of the scripture is relevant for our lives. But this is one of those scriptures that gets lived out daily in every one of our lives because it speaks of our life in a very practical sense that every day you are alive, you are building on the kingdom of Christ if you are a Christian. Okay? Now, if you're not a Christian, you're not building on the kingdom of Christ. You're building your own kingdom, and it's going to fall before the Heavenly Father. But as Christians, we realize what we're building on isn't ours. Amen? Everything we have is borrowed. Everything we have is temporal, and it will all pass away. However, things from this life do go on and into the next life. And that is the premise of what is being spoken of here in the Scriptures. I believe that, you know, the Scripture is very clear that it says, if we build upon this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, or straw, what we build is going to be shown for what it is in time. So if you would, turn to that Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, because that's where we're going to begin. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Of course, I have to keep going back there because that is our text that we are coming from, and just reminding us of that text and then moving out from it. Now, I'm going to read over the entire text. Well, no, I'm not. I'm just going to do 12 through 15. We're going to do 12 through 15. It says in verse 12, now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work, which he has built on it, remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Now, this is not talking about people of the world. We need to understand. Some scripture talks about people of the world. Some people speaks about people in Christ. And some scripture speaks in general of all of us. Okay? This scripture is specific to believers. Because only believers get reward. Okay? It's kind of like having one of those debit cards, okay, that you get the points on, okay? If I don't have one of those debit cards that has the points, I don't get the points, all right? So my Cabela's card that I have, if I use my Cabela's card, I get points because of what I'm doing with that card. But if I don't use that card, I don't get points. Well, if you're not a Christian, you don't have a kingdom card. It works just like that, okay? So, you know, and I know I'm making this simple, stupid, but I was always told the KISS method works. Keep it simple, stupid, okay? And the stupid is me, because that's what you're telling yourself, all right? I'm not talking to you when I say that. I'm the stupid, because you can speak so flamboyantly when you're up front here that people are like, what's he talking about? I got to remember, I got to talk like I am rather than talk like I think I am. Amen? Because I am Richie Dubs from Glen Rock, Pennsylvania, the son of Richard and Lillian. All right? I ain't all that. But in Christ Jesus, I'm that much more. Amen? And that's for all of us. That is for all of us because that's our membership. Because that's where you get the points from. But we need to remember, God here uses three very specific things. He says gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, right? Now, why does he use gold, hay, and stubble? Or gold, silver, and precious stones? He uses that because we're building something and we all understand it. How many of you have ever watched a coronation? And I know, you know, we've not really seen a coronation for years, because the last coronation was Queen Elizabeth, if I'm not mistaken, okay? And that was before my day, okay? But we will see a coronation in our lifetime, probably, because more than likely that monarchy will change out and the son, Charles, I believe that's his name, will probably become King of England sometime in our lifetimes. Because, hey, let's face it, Queen Elizabeth is in her 80s now. She's 93, okay? So, you know, she definitely has more time behind her than she has in front of her. And I'm not wishing her ill. I'm just speaking a truth that we all know. I'm 56. I know I have more time behind me than I have in front of me. But when they have that coronation, what do they bring out? You get to see it once in a lifetime, perhaps. The crown jewels of England. And what's a crown made out of? Gold, silver, and precious stones. Because you see, we're not storing up massive amounts of treasure. When we look at the vastness of God and what each life really is, we're building a crown. And in fact, I will charge you as a congregation to look to your scriptures, because there's not just one crown that we are building. How many crowns are we building? I'm looking to my teachers here, and maybe some of the rest of you know this answer. How many crowns are there spoken of in the scriptures? Dee, dee, boo, boo. Yes, ma'am, we have a winner. There are seven. Seven is what? The number of perfection. There are seven crowns spoken of in God's word. And we are building, literally building, these seven crowns out of the gold, silver, and precious stones of life. Okay? You see, God doesn't mince words. God's literally telling us something here about our lives and what we're preparing ourselves for. So when we think about this, we can either build those crowns. One of them's the crown of life. One of them's the crown of righteousness. Okay? How many of you can mention another crown? Okay, you got to look them up. You got to look them up. There's seven of them. There are seven crowns mentioned in the scriptures. And no, I'm not giving them to you. You all can go and look them up too. Don't do it now. Wait until after service, then you can go look them up. But there are seven crowns that we're building. And from that, we need to understand God refines everything. Because God loves purity. Amen? God loves purity. Because it's only purity that can stand before Him. Because He is pure. He is holy. And before His presence, everything will be purged. We need to understand that. No darkness can come before the Lord. That's why it says, and the day will reveal it with fire. What is the day that is being spoken of? Judgment, okay? It's literally judgment. It's the day of the Lord. Now, there are two judgments, okay? Does anybody know what those two judgments are called? That's the last one, but what's the one before that? The Bema Seat. There are two judgments. The first judgment is for Christians, okay? That's where our stuff will be purged. That's the Bema judgment. That is where, when we come before Christ, our lives will be revealed, and all the wood, hay, and stubble is going to be stripped away, and the refined gold, silver, and precious stones will be revealed, okay? And you know, this scripture is such a deep and full scripture. We read over it and it's just a few sentences, but it ties together so much scripture. If you realize, since we began this process of going through this series, how many scriptures has Pastor David and myself, are you proud of me? I said Pastor David. How many scriptures have Pastor David and I used in illustration or support of what we're teaching? Every week there's been at least three, and we could have picked many, many, many more. Am I correct, brother or Pastor David? Whew, almost messed up there. So today, I want you to turn to another one. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. It's only a few verses later in the very conversation that Paul is having here with us. From chapter 4 in verse 5, it says, "Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God." Does that make sense to you? Because what that is talking about is that Bema Seat judgment. We are not supposed to judge what other people are doing, and we are to accept what they're doing as what they're doing unto the Lord, okay? As Christians, we're to look at it and we're to say, hey, you know, we aren't to judge the motives of their heart. We aren't to judge anything about what they're doing as far as how or why they're doing it, because that's God to determine whether it's wood, hay, or stubble, gold, precious stones, or silver. But we are to accept it as if it were gold, silver, and precious stones. Because we need to remember, children's hospitals have been built by people on this earth for good intention. All right? But many of those good intentions was tax write-offs and to get their name out there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right? I want you to think about that. We do not stay away from such a place simply because, well, that's just an arrogant individual. No, now you're being stupid. Okay? Yes, I just said that. I call a horse a horse. Okay? Of course. Unless his name is Mr. Ed. And the folks out there on the internet are thinking, what is he, huh? Who's Mr. Ed? Look it up. It's out there too. But we utilize those facilities because they have been given in grace. And God uses everything in our world, okay? Let's face it, brothers and sisters. God uses your own sin to get to your heart. Am I lying on that? You need to remember that. You see, God works in a different ecology than we work in. So even if a person's motives are wrong, God can use it for good. Do you remember Romans? I think it says in there somewhere, I'm not just too sure, but I think it says in there somewhere, to those who love God, he worketh all things to good. So we need to remember, another person's motives, we're not supposed to judge. Let God judge them in that day. They will be revealed. But what we have done with what those people have done, we can build upon their work for the kingdom and turn it around. Do you see how that works? Am I making sense? Because if we take something that was, you know, built in pride or done in pride or done to make money, but it is utilized by the church of Jesus Christ to bring glory to God, who's getting glory? God. So you see, it's the attitude of our hearts that matters. It's the attitude of our hearts that matters. You can take somebody else's wood, hay, and stubble and turn it into gold, silver, and precious stones for yourself. You get to choose what you're going to do with it. You know, how many of us, when we see somebody else's wood, hay, and stubble, we start to gossip about that person, or we start to ramble about this thing and get upset with it? Well, you've just added wood, hay, and stubble to your own pile. Turn it around. Turn it around. Because when you turn it around, you're adding treasure to your own, okay? And the amazing thing is, we're supposed to pray for those people because then you're putting coals upon their head, okay? And I think it's funny because I can remember when I first got that scripture, I used to think, oh, I'm going to pray coals on your head and bring condemnation upon you. I didn't realize what that scripture meant. What that scripture means is God's going to refine them just as he's refining me. When I prayed that prayer and wanted condemnation, I think God was heaping coals on me because I needed them. We need to remember, God's word is more about building you up and building others up than it is tearing anything down. So when we look at this scripture that we've just read here, we can see that God, from verse 13, and because that's where this comes out of, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. We're not supposed to be the ones who test it. Who tests it? God does. Let God be the one to test it. Let God be the one to reveal it, because then we're not bringing condemnation upon ourselves. Amen. And that's what we want. We don't want condemnation. We want edification. You know, I think it's so amazing. If we were as involved in edifying people as we are in gossiping about them and tearing them down, because that's what our society has taught us. You know, that's why all those things are out there, Murray and Jerry Springer, and, you know, some of them are off the air now, I'm sure. At least I hope they are. I haven't watched them in years. But those things are put on TV to keep us talking about each other, to divide us. And to think that, well, if they're that bad, I must be normal. It just keeps moving the needle of normal further and further away from center. And we need to bring it back in our own lives. And that's what God wants us to do here. Bring this thing back to center. And remember, He is our center. And when we're there, we are on target. So as we look again to this verses that we've been looking at, speaking about the judgment, because, hey, the title of today's sermon is The Inspector is Here. There is a day when it's going to be now, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you all, and I honestly believe this, I believe that when a saint passes, we are at the Bema seat. Okay? I think that's when that judgment happens for that individual. That's my personal philosophy. Okay? Because I believe that Christ is on the throne, and when we get there, He's not waiting until we all get there. When we get there, remember, He's eternal. To Him, everything is now. That's when the Bema seat happens for us. That's when our stuff gets weighed out and we receive our gold, precious stones and silver, and the wood, hay, and stubble is burned away. Because it's at that point that we're given our crowns. And it's so amazing, because when you think about those crowns, what are we going to do with those? There is no more treasure than the treasure of the love of God. Is that true? You and I, there's nothing we can have, nothing of value greater than the love of God and His redemptive grace. We're going to put those treasures at His feet. However, there are going to be some who don't have that. But I want you to see something very real. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Because remember, pastor can't just say this stuff without backing it up. Because God's word is true, and every man a liar. Amen? So from the book of Revelation, I want you to turn to chapter 2. Chapter 2, we are in verse 8, Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Verses 8 through 11. This is the Lord speaking to the apostle And he says unto him, and to the angel of the church in Samaria write, the first and the last, who was dead and has come to life, says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the blasphemy by those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you what? The crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Because you see, in that second death, that's when the things of the world are judged. That is the white throne judgment. That is when the final judgment comes. We will not be there. We will see it, but we'll not be at the judgment because the judgment has already been passed upon us through the Bema seat of Christ, because as those who are redeemed, we don't go to the white throne judgment. And it will not harm us because we will not be judged, because we were judged unto the glory of God at the Bema seat. And our crowns are what saved us. The fact that we chose Christ has saved us, and we are in the kingdom. However, there are going to be some that aren't there, and that's because they built with their own stuff. You see, you and I don't have anything to build a crown with. The only way we get the pieces that build a crown is to walk, if you remember, bringing forth the Beatitudes into our lives. That's why we studied those Beatitudes when we were looking at the gold, silver, and precious stone. And as we were looking at those, we have to come to the conclusion. We have to come to the conclusion. We have to come to the conclusion that they are the results of a life living in the fruits of the Spirit. They are the outcome of the fruits of the Spirit. They are only the result of God in us, working through us as we submit to Him and we allow those graces to come out. They are His, they're not ours. Because we are sinners by nature, all we have to offer Him is wood, hay, and stubble. That's all we have to offer Him is self. But when we offer Him ourself in truth, in laying ourselves down and taking up the Holy Spirit, that's called salvation. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and we allow Him to live through us, as Paul says, He needs to become more, I need to become less. And as that Holy Spirit begins to well up in us and bring us to that place where we can express the Beatitudes and do the things that we've been asked to do, live the life that we've been asked to live, God through us actually gives us the gold, silver, and precious stones because we have submitted to Him. I want you to think about that. Because we don't have anything to offer. Outside of Jesus Christ, we have nothing to offer. We have nothing of worth to Him. Everything we have is His already anyhow. The only thing He doesn't have, because God gave us free will, is our spirit. And if we keep our spirit to ourselves, where are we going to find ourselves in the end? If we have not trusted unto God, unto salvation, where are we going to find ourselves in the end? At the great white throne judgment. And we just read about that. Okay? That time is coming. And when that time comes, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it's going to be a horrible place. But praise God, even Christians who don't get it right still get into heaven. Do you know that? Even Christians who don't get it right. You know, and I want you to think about that. Because I want you to look in the mirror today and ask yourself, am I getting it right? Because the only answer you can literally, truly, honestly give is no. But by the grace of God, go I. Because it's not you, it's not me, it's Him in us. Amen? And some people just don't quite get that because they still have that, and I hate to do this, they still have that one foot in the world, but yet one foot in the Lord. And they just haven't quite figured it out. Remember, we're all at different places in our walk. Amen? And some people just don't have the strength of faith, because we all have the same measure of faith. The Holy Spirit is the same measure of faith. He's the Holy Spirit to every one of us. But some of us don't apportion it to ourselves for fear or what other things. And we're going to be talking about some of that in discipleship. And I hope you're going to stick around for discipleship, because it's going to be a good discipleship time. That was a shameless plug, wasn't it, Miss Dottie? But I can do that because we're having discipleship after church today. And it's so amazing, because fear literally is an enemy of our souls, okay? It's an enemy of our rewards in heaven. And how do I know that? Well, flipping back to our original text, in verse 15, it tells us that if any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Now, you all know me. This is what I call the smoking section of heaven, okay? You all know me, and I don't mean anything, you know, I don't mean anything detrimental by it. To me, it's a funny thing, all right? But it's also very serious, because there is a place in heaven where there are going to be people, not a place, because heaven is heaven, all right? But when we get to heaven, there are going to be people who've gotten in because they have accepted the redemptive grace of Christ, but they never built with anything the Holy Spirit gave them, because all they did was accept Christ. Okay? Or they may have done something, and instead of having seven crowns, they're going to have seven tiaras. Is that what? Yeah, seven tiaras. And they're going to be little ones. Okay? And so they're going to have something, but it's not going to be much. And we need to understand that's exactly what's being spoken of here. Because when all we have to offer God is self, what happens to that? Self is pride. Self is arrogance. Those things will be stripped away. Because you see, when we get to heaven, everything will be revealed. And all the pride, all the arrogance, they're sins, aren't they? All that stuff will be stripped away. The only thing that they're going to have on their plate before God is going to be that one drop of blood. And you know what? That's enough. That's enough to get you in. Because you and I can't bring anything to that plate. It starts with one drop of blood. And it's the blood of the Lamb. So even if that's all they have to offer, they are going to get in. But they'll have nothing to lay at His feet. And I want you folks to know, I want you to have something to lay at His feet. Why? Not because I want you to come in pride or in arrogance, but I want you to experience heaven here, now. And that's what we're doing. When we're building with the gold and the silver and the precious stones, we are experiencing heaven here. We are experiencing the goodness, the mercy, the truth, the union, the relationship with God in His world, in this world, to bring others unto salvation. And that's where I am right now. That's why your pastor is a pastor. Okay? I'm not a pastor because I want to stand in front of people and talk. I think it's funny because I was not a stand in front of people and talk kind of guy. I am now because that's who God has made me to be. And it does not bother me. I'll never forget when Lynn and I went to Penn State. This was amazing. Everybody gets their 15 minutes of glory, right? 15 minutes of earthly fame, right? We went to Penn State. I got a couple of them, but the biggest one was this. At Dance Marathon, I was actually able to glorify the Lord in what he was doing in our son's life using the students at Penn State. And for 7 minutes, they interviewed me on the Today Show with Russell. During that time, they said the audience was approximately 4 million people. My biggest audience ever. 4 million people. I was looking into a camera and just talking, and you know, I had an earbud in my ear. I was talking to somebody in New York. I can't remember the young lady's name. And during that time that I was speaking, they raised $1.2 million for Dance Marathon. That was my 15 minutes of fame. The amazing thing was, to me, in my heart, that was when God solidified where he was going to put me. I knew I was headed to ministry. I knew I was headed to ministry. And he said, if you can do this, you'll do even greater things. And I thought, wow, I'm going to be speaking to millions. And God said, no, you're going to be speaking to a group, but you're going to be involved in their lives. I want you to live your life in front of them and for them. And that's where it has to happen. Because, folks, I'm going to tell you, we all want those big things. But in that 7 minutes, I probably got a gram of gold out of that. But here, when I look out, I see my greatest treasure. Because I see you each building your crown. And that, truly, truly, is my treasure. Not that I'm building anything, but that you are building your own lives. That you are taking those steps. Because that, to me, is what it's about. It's not about my treasure. It's about helping you build yours. That you're finding Christ in your lives. That you're experiencing his love now. And that you're taking that love out into a world that so desperately needs it and wants to tell you to shut up, and you can't, and you won't. Because, let's face it, how many of our kids liked broccoli when they were growing up? Or lima beans, or asparagus? You know, you choose it, right? Okay? But we knew they were good for them and that they needed to eat them. Okay, I'm thinking of Miss Shannon and poor little Alex. He would not eat at all when he was a baby, would he? We were wondering if this little boy was ever going to grow. And I look at him now, and I say, was it easy, Miss Shannon? Was it worth it, Miss Shannon? And we all can relate to that, can't we? It's not easy. You have to keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. And we keep on, not because we want to force the issue. We keep on because we love them. And there is no greater love. There is no greater love than the love of God for his children. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I pray that this has truly worked in your lives. The last scripture I want you to turn to is 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 31. Last scripture. Because this is our God. This is how much God knows us and what we will do if given to ourselves and our own initiatives. 1:27. It says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, you and I are the foolish. You and I are the weak. You and I are the abase. And God has chosen us because he knows that in and of ourselves we have no worth. But with God in us, we have the ability. We have the ability to build a kingdom of gold, silver, and precious stones that will last for all eternity. He owns all of it. All we need to do is submit to him and allow his love and grace to come through into the lives, from our life into the lives of others. Are you prepared to do that today? Is that the direction you want to go in life? Do you want others to succeed? Do you want to succeed? You know, I think this is funny because if you want to succeed, you've got to help others succeed. And not in this world, but in the kingdom to come. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you right now, and Jesus has said it, the kingdom is here. It's in us, as the Holy Spirit is in us. We are in eternity because we have eternity living in us. So this day, I encourage you, start looking at the motives of your heart. Look to the world around you. How can you be Christ to this world? And build your crowns. Because I'm going to tell you, the day is going to come when you're going to look back and you're going to say to yourself, I know I'm going to do this. We're going to look back and we're going to say, wait a minute, Lord, where did all that stuff come from? Oh, my Lord. And that's when he's going to say, yes, exactly. It came from me because you submitted to me and you did this and you did this and you did this. But please also remember, in that day, we're also going to be shown where we didn't do what we should have done. But it'll not be held against us. It'll simply be expunged. It'll be burnt up. And some of us are going to smell like smoke for all eternity. I pray, no matter which way it is, that we are simply in eternity. Amen. But may it be that you have the gold, silver, and precious stones to build those seven crowns and then to have the honor and privilege of laying them at the Master's feet. I think it's amazing, isn't it? We go through this whole life, and at the end, we give it all back to him. Because there ain't nothing in this life worth anything more than him. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we thank you so much. Because Lord, if you would leave us to ourselves, we would just build with wood, hay, and stubble, and there would be no hope. But Lord God, because you have chosen us, because you, Lord Jesus, have given yourself as a ransom for us, we have now the ability through the Holy Spirit to build a kingdom that has worth and value, to build into lives rather than taking away and tearing down, but to build up, to encourage and to admonish all of those who are around us and for even ourselves, Lord, because sometimes that's what it takes for us to get the point that you are God. And that all goodness comes from you and yet returns to you. The question is, are we going to be part of that goodness that returns to your very self. Father, we ask your blessing on this day and each of our lives, that we may build with gold, silver, and precious stones. Father, we know there's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. Help us to remove those things from ourselves, that we may choose the better, and that we may walk in the glory of the Lord, both now and forevermore. And unto the Christ, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.